'Tis not the first time I have constrained one to call me an ape. Begin, fool. It begins. Hold thy peace.
I'll watch it up begin if I hold my peace.
That's the good if they come begin.
Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. It's time once again for some shameless self-promotion. My company, Co-op Theater East, is producing Twelfth Night Wall Street at the Looking Glass Theater, 422 West 57th Street in Manhattan. So, full disclosure, I did the sound, I helped build the set, and I produced the show. But the interview today is with Coates' literary director and the director of the show, Casey Cleverly. Take a listen.
So it's going to be a bit awkward because I kind of know the show really well.
So you know my answers.
Yeah, but we'll see how well we can kind of lead. So okay. I'm sitting in the office of Looking Glass Theater with Casey Cleverly. Hi, Casey.
Hi, Robbie.
Casey and I have spent a lot of time together on this show, so this podcast might be a little awkward because I'm going to be asking questions to which I know the answers. But Casey has directed Twelfth Night Wall Street, a show that, just another full disclosure alert, I produced and did some sound on. And one of the questions, though, Casey, that I get every time I tell somebody about the show is, why Wall Street? Twelfth Night Wall Street. Why Wall Street? So,
well, I've always been drawn to the play of Twelfth Night. And I have a firm belief that you shouldn't do a play that's been done, you know, a dozen times, thousands of times in the case of Shakespeare. Unless you're going to do something different with it. And I was sitting down with the play and I was like, what can I do that is different with this play that hasn't been done? What's a new theme I can bring out? And I thought, well, if I set this in the modern day, a woman dressing up as a man, why would she do that? Why would she need to do that? And at the same time I was thinking about the play, I ran across a book review of a memoir a woman wrote who was trying to make it in the world of Wall Street, and how she felt like it was a boys club and they kind of treated her like a man, and she felt like she was losing out on things because of her gender. And I thought, well, that would be an interesting twist. Why don't we set it on Wall Street and have Viola feel like she needs to dress as a man in order to work for Orsino, who is the head of this investment bank called Orsino and Partners.
And then they are wooing the business of Olivia.
Olivia, who is a fashion heiress. She's part of, like, the very, very top of the 1% in New York. And her house really revolves around more of a feminine sphere. All of her attendants are women except for Malvolio, and there's supposed to be a very different feel between her house and Orsino and Partners.
And then you mentioned the 1%. Now the 99% figures into this as well.
They do, yes. In the form of Sir Toby Belch and Sir Andrew Ajikcheek, who come to Olivia's because they are protesters and they're part of Occupy Wall Street. And they're kind of, you know, just staying with Olivia and causing trouble and drinking all her booze, and they're the comic relief of the show, really.
It's, we were talking about this earlier, how that line in the show, that storyline in the show, almost feels unnecessary to what is, I think, is often thought of as the main plot of Twelfth Night. Mm-hmm. However, personally, I find it more interesting. I think Shakespeare wrote a better plot there.
I think so, too. And most people who've seen the play say that as well, that it is a more interesting plot. Because those characters are just so funny. And Shakespeare actually wrote them to be more of, like, the everyday man. Whereas Orsino and Olivia and Viola, to some extent, are all talking in this, like, heightened poetic language. And everything they're saying is poetry. Whereas Toby and Andrew are very much, you know, the regular street guys
drunken
in London. Yeah, they're drunken, and they're not talking in, you know, beautiful language here. They're talking in, you know, what in Shakespearean day was, like, you know, the slang street talk.
And that's not the slight, though, however, Viola and Orsino and Olivia, who also in your production are doing some very excellent work. Where do you see that play between the 99% idea with Toby and Andrew and Fabian fitting into, like, how does that tie into the Wall Street of Orsino, fashion house of Olivia? Mm-hmm. How are they kind of connected?
Well,
because like I said, those two lines are almost like different, but you found a way to connect them. So how do they kind of come together?
Well, it comes together because the main line that I use to really like drive the plot of this play is on the back of our postcard, which is "Summer Born."
Fabulously designed by Michael Simmons, our set designer.
Yes, which is "Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them." Now, this is a line that Mariah made up to make Malvolio feel like he's something special and that Olivia loves him and that he's going to move up in the world. And that's what all the characters are trying to achieve here, especially Viola. She thinks that the only way that she can, you know, she's shipwrecked on this island of Manhattan. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know how to get along in this world. So she feels like, oh, if I dress as a man, it'll get me further up. While Orsino, he has all the money in the world, but he still wants this business of Olivia. And Olivia keeps saying, oh no, I'm eschewing all contacts.
That's right, she refuses to see men.
She refuses to see men, exactly. Right. Which is ironic, because there's a twist with Orsino. But she refuses to see men, and so everybody in this play is trying to achieve something. And Sir Toby and Sir Andrew really are the ones who are really bring like the folly in that alive, because they're the ones who, and Mariah, you make this elaborate plot to humiliate Malvolio because of his aspirations.
Wow, I didn't think that's brilliant. I like that. So the show runs through next week, March 10th. Mm-hmm. At Looking Glass. What was the process like directing Shakespeare? This is a common theme on Go See a Show. It almost feels like every single podcast comes back to Shakespeare.
Really?
Although this is only the second or third that is actually directly about Shakespeare. Yeah. But is this your first time directing?
This is my first time directing Shakespeare. I studied a lot of Shakespeare in college. And I studied it when I was abroad in London as well. So I've had a good grasp of Shakespeare and the language and everything. But in terms of directing it, I felt that in order to do Shakespeare, you really have to understand what's in the language first, mm-hmm. before you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because a bad Shakespeare play is when the audience is sitting there going, huh, what did they just say?
Well, I was really, I finally watched the show in performance as opposed to just tech last night. And I was struck by, again, the, especially, it comes out especially in the moments, of course, with Andrew and Toby, but the literal showing at times, there were just moments when you really showed exactly what was going on.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to think of a specific example, but when the text would be, I can cut a caper, and they start dancing.
Right.
You know, little things like that. Just that was really great to help, I think, move an audience along.
Yeah. And I also hinted with Orsino to move the plot of the fact that he's a businessman and is trying to get money whenever he mentions unprofited returns. You know, he makes a money symbol with his hand just so that the audience can pick up on.
It does give you something to grab onto.
Right.
To push the plot forward.
Especially with the visual. So that's how we started the rehearsal process. We started with the book work, hashing out exactly what's going on in every scene, what are they saying, and then we moved into the blocking and making explicit what was in the text and the action.
Excellent. Any other final thoughts for the podcast audience?
Final thoughts.
This one's hard for me to do, folks, because, like I said, I've been so in part of this process. It's hard, to, hard to do a podcast on something that I know so well.
I just want to say this show has been a tremendous amount of fun, because I think it's the first comedy, really, that...
Especially for
Code
our company.
Done.
Yes,
that's what I mean.
We've had some lighter pieces, but this is the first true comedy.
Right, it's our foray into comedic.
Thank goodness. Yeah, we got a little heavy there for a while.
Right.
But yeah, that's a great start into comedy for us.
Yeah. And I think you can do a lot of social satire with comedy, like social commentary that doesn't come through in hard-hitting pieces as well.
It's a different sort of statement, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, well, it's coming through in spades. Congrats, Casey.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing the podcast.
My pleasure, Robbie.
Thanks again to Casey for joining me for an interview while we waited in the front office during Act 2 of a performance last week. You've got a few chances left to see Twelfth Night Wall Street at Looking Glass Theater, again, 422 West 57th Street, where Co-op Theater East is in residence. There's tonight, Wednesday, March 7th, through Saturday, March 10th, with 7:30 p.m. performances daily. Tickets are available via Ovation Tix, so you can visit cooptheatereast.org for more info and a link. Or also, be sure to check out Looking Glass on the web at lookingglasstheaternyc.com. And by the way, those are both theater with an R-E. Thanks for listening to Go See a Show. Got a lot of episodes coming soon, so be sure to subscribe via RSS or iTunes. There are links on the website. And if you've got a hint for other shows I should be watching out for and doing a podcast on, shoot me an email at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at goseeashowpodcast.com. Until next time. Go see a show.
That was really difficult. I was like, what the heck am I going to ask? I know everything about the show. I'm trying to, like, make up stuff.